bird and every kind of animal, every kind of small animal that scurries along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. And be sure to take on board enough food for your family and for all of the animals. So Noah did everything exactly as God had commanded. Chapter 7, verses 6 through 10. Noah was 600 years old when the flood covered the earth. He went on board the boat to escape the flood. He and his wife and his sons and their wives with them were all the various kind of animals, those approved for eating and for sacrifice, and those that were not, along with all the birds and the small animals that scurry along the ground. They entered the boat in pairs, male and female, just as God had commanded Noah. After 7 days, the waters of the flood came and covered the earth, and the rain continued to fall for 40 days and 40 nights. Verses 17 through 24. For 40 days, the flood waters grew deeper, covering the ground and lifting the boat high above the earth. As the waters rose higher and higher above the ground, the boat floated safely on the surface. And finally, the water covered even the highest mountains on the earth, rising more than 22 feet above the highest peaks. All the living things on earth died. Birds, domestic animals, wild animals, small animals that scurry along the ground, and all the people, and everything that breathed and lived on the dry land died. And God wiped out every living thing on the earth, people, livestock, small animals that scurry along the ground, and the birds of the sky. All were destroyed. The only people who survived were Noah and those with him and the boat. And the floodwaters covered the earth for 150 days. Now, I'm going to pause right there for a minute. I don't know if any of you have ever seen the movie The Croods, but I literally just felt like the father who gave the story, and at the end he said, and they died. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever seen that movie and the every end of the story? So I'm sorry to give you an ending right now that everybody died, but we're going to keep on going. So that was my little cartoon, just seeing them. And they died. So Genesis chapter 8, 1 through 2, and then 14 through 17 says, but God remembered Noah and all the wild animals, and the livestock with him in the boat. He sent a wind to blow across the earth, and the floodwaters began to recede. The underground waters stopped flowing, and the torrential rains from the sky were stopped. So the floodwaters gradually receded from the earth. After 150 days, exactly 5 months from the time the flood began, the boat came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. Two and a half months later, as the waters continued to go down, other mountain peaks became visible. And after another 40 days, Noah opened the window he had made in the boat and released a raven. The bird flew back and forth until the floodwaters on the earth had dried up. He also released a dove to see if the water was receded, and it could not find dry ground. But the dove could find no place to land because the water still was covered and covered the ground. So it returned to the boat, and Noah held out his hand and drew the dove back in. After waiting another 7 days, Noah released the dove again, and this time the dove returned to him in the evening with a fresh olive leaf in its beak. Then Noah knew that the floodwaters were almost gone. He waited another 7 days and then released the dove again. This time it did not come back. Two more months went by, and at last the earth was dry. And then God said to Noah, leave the boat, all of you. You and your wife, your sons, and their wives, release all the animals, the birds, the livestock, and the small animals that scurry along the ground so that they can be fruitful and multiply throughout the earth. Chapter 9, verses 12 through 15, as we end. And God said, this is a sign, the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds on the earth, and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all the living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. So here we've kind of read through all 9 chapters in a brief segments of it, of letting you know what happened from beginning to end when God called Noah to come and told him that there was going to be a flood, which, mind you, at this time, the earth had been mostly watered by the dew of God and different things. They had never seen rain. They didn't know what that was. They didn't know what was going on, let alone people knowing what a boat was. I mean, they had seen there were seas and there were different things, but just knowing what a huge ship, a huge ark, at that moment, at that time, not knowing what was going on. And we've gone through the portions to see timing and what God's taken place and what he did during those moments with Noah. But I want to break it down for you today. See, because there is a weather alert and there is a flash flood warning. A flash flood warning is issued when a flash flood is imminent or occurring in the warned area. A flash flood is a sudden, violent flood after a heavy rain or occasionally after a dam break. Scripture says that Noah was a righteous man, blameless in God's sight. Last week, Pastor Brandon spoke to us about Elijah and about how God's presence is with us and how we carry God's presence. And that with us brings the rain, that we are the ones that carry God's presence. So are you with me that we carry the rain of God's presence? We carry his rainfall. When we walk around and we go to other people's situations and he said, bring the storm with you. You need to be the storm, be the rain, let it rain through you. So like Noah, you may be the only person in your circumstances that carries the rain of his presence where you are. The more you walk with God, the more rainfall that you bring. I believe Noah's stance and obedience to God in the midst of disbelief, chaos, and great sin caused a heavy rain to fall because he was standing in agreement with the Father. Heavy rainfall causes violent flooding. Are you hearing me? Remember, if you carry the rain of God's presence, you are bound to face a storm sometime or another. But why is it that we want God's rain, but not everything that comes with it? You can't choose the type of rain he brings. You want to carry God's presence, and you want to know that you're the rain, but we want to walk along, you know, like Olaf off of Anna and Elsa with the sweet little cloud of, you know, flurries and things that come down on us. And it doesn't work like that. Doesn't work like that. You carry the rain of God's presence. So at any moment, you could literally be in a torrential downpour and there could be flooding. And God does that on a purpose sometimes that we don't even understand. And so we're saying, oh God, I want the rain of your presence, but are you really understanding what you're asking for? Are you just saying, because you know, most of the time you can't say, now God, I want a light drizzle with just a little bit of clouds and no thunder and lightning, please. Just missed on me, God. Because it's easier to go like that. We like the soft rains that sound on the top of the tin roof and the way that we can do whatever we want and everything's wonderful. But most of the time, we don't want the storm that comes with the rain. Because there's more responsibility. The greater the rainfall, there's more responsibility. There's more things that God begins to come in and he begins to cleanse and he begins to move. And then what happens is flooding happens and you're all upset because God brought his rain that you asked for. Number one, no one is exempt from storms and floods. Even Noah, who walked with God when no one else did, had to weather that storm. He had to weather it. Even when he carried the rain of God's presence in his life, he had to weather that storm, just like everybody else. See, to weather a storm means to be able to continue going and to be able to be all right despite whatever difficult circumstances you may face. To continue to exist and not be harmed during a difficult period. Now here we're talking about, you know, some storms come in our life and physically they feel like they harm our bodies and different things are going. But we're talking about right in here where you carry that presence of God, that this can continue to exist on a daily basis with God, walking with him continually, not being harmed, that it should not harm your relationship with God. Storms should only enhance your relationship with God. The importance of choosing your shelter during your storm makes a huge difference between life and death, not only for your spirit, but even for your physical. Do you understand that if Noah would not have listened to God in the midst of that storm, that God was going to bring his rain anyways, and if he would have not chose to take shelter underneath where God had told him to do so, in the presence of God, that he would have not made it just like anybody else in that storm, whether he loved God or not. So where you choose to take shelter matters in your storms. It matters. It makes a huge difference to know that when a storm is going on, that I have chose to take shelter in the Most High God. That it doesn't matter what's going on around me. It doesn't matter what the world's facing. That I'm going to stand. Psalm 91, 1 through 2. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High God will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. You see, the ark was just the physical representation of where Noah was with God in his heart. The ark was just the physical of what was going on right here. It manifested. God knew that Noah had literally been an ark. You think God, the ark of the covenant, and now we create an ark? We have the ark of the covenant that we hold right here in our hearts. And when you hold that right here, what happens is the outside begins to manifest what's right here. And so what happens is when you're in the midst of a storm and you choose your shelter wisely, you're not left out in the middle of a flood holding an umbrella and getting swept away because, no, you're covered in the ark of his presence. It's covering right here. I mean, and this is nothing against nobody, but how many times have we seen things on the news where flooding is taking place and somehow, some way, somebody gets out in the middle on top of a car? How does that happen? Can anybody tell me the wisdom of, I'm going to drive through this huge lake now, pond, that's right here, and try to get there? No sense at all. But when we don't place ourselves in the correct shelter, we do some pretty dumb things. We just do. Because we're not thinking clearly. Because remember when we talked about from the first series, being a weatherman and having the weatherman syndrome, that you begin to think irrationally? You begin to think outside of what God wants when you don't place yourself in his spirit? See, what you have in your spirit, again, will manifest itself in the physical, especially during the storms. What's in there will definitely come out in the storms. Number two, storms take you past your comfort zone and into the trust zone. Storms take you past your comfort zone and into the trust zone. You will either choose to believe in the God, you will either choose to believe in God that's in you, or you will fail to believe in him at all. You will either choose to believe in the God that's in you, or you will fail to believe in him at all. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. When you stand in God, you can do things you've never done before. Like Paul said, Philippians 4, 11 through 13, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed, do you hear me? Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Whether or not, I will choose to weather this storm with the ark of God's presence being my covenant, being my place to dwell, being my secret place. See, when you are in God's presence, it causes you to do things you've never been able to do before. It takes you out of that comfort zone. Noah became a master builder of something that he had not ever been heard of. Noah learned how to build an ark. Guess what, guys? There were no architectural plans laid out right in front of him to tell him where everything went and how it went and exactly how to do it. You know what he had? The voice of God. That was it. That was it. That was all he had to know how to build that. See, God will supply what you need to get through the storm when you first recognize he is your supply at all. He'll supply what you need to get through the storm when you first recognize that He is your supply. He's where you get all the answers. He's where you get everything you need. And so many of us were asking God, send your rain, send your presence. But I didn't want that part, God. Oh, don't do that. And now you're caught up in the floods and it's going on and you're freaking out because you don't know what to do because you did not continue to stay in the presence of the Most High. So you did not continue to listen to what He was saying to you to tell you how to get to the next stage. He will give you instruction to let you know exactly what to do, how to do it, and when you need to do it. See, Noah standing God caused a boldness and confidence to stand in the world outside his comfort zone. This allowed him to finish his task even in the face of great ridicule, mockery, pain, tears, and hard work. Great people never do great things staying comfortable. Great people never do great things staying comfortable. We can cry out, man, God, I want to do something great for you. I want to do something big for you. And He's like, no, you don't. You just want to jump in the puddles. You don't want to get in the storm. See, there's moments when we can dance in the rain, and there's other moments where we have to be the ones to save somebody in the midst of that flood. And you have to know where you are. You can't just stay comfortable constantly not doing something. Great things. Great people do great things only when they get out of their comfort zone. See, Noah and his family were by himself. He was the only one who trusted God at this moment. He was the only one who walked with God. The world was nuts. The world was like it is now. Read your Bible as in the days of Noah. Read it. Y'all are lucky that he ain't just went one more time. But because of His grace, because of His love. But see, what's crazy about it is these people didn't love God. They loved the world. They loved what they did. And they mocked, I guarantee they mocked Noah. What in the world are you doing? What are you building? You don't know what you're doing. You're crazy. In this society, he probably would have been locked in a loony bin. He would have been locked away. They would have just said, forget you. You're nuts. You're crazy. You're getting locked away. Find out what needs to be done, and we're getting you help. And then we would have tried to diagnose him with every psychiatric term and give him all these medicines in the world to dose him, because in reality, all he was hearing the voice of God. So how many of you are afraid to speak out on behalf of the voice of God because you're afraid what you'll get labeled in this world? And because of your fear, you don't want to go into the storm. See, it's not about what anybody else thought. When you follow God and you take place right here with Him, it gives you a boldness and a confidence to know it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. It doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. I'm following God. See, the people were comfortable. They were comfortable in their sin. Being comfortable in your sin equals not surviving. Number three, restoration can be found in the storm. Noah carried the rain of God's presence, and through him God restored his rain to the land. Noah carried the rain of God's presence, but through him God restored his rain to the land. God desires you to get through the storm with his presence, but also with his rain in your life. To rain, I'm not talking about raindrops, I'm not talking about that's what falling. To reign means to possess or exercise sovereign power or authority, to rule, to exercise government as a king or emperor, or to hold the supreme power. When God reigns as the full authority in your life, he then in return gives you authority for him to reign through you in his world. See, God restored the reign of Adam to Noah through the storm. Listen, God restored the reign of Adam to Noah through the storm. Noah was the only man who walked with God in close fellowship. Noah was given authority over the animals. Listen, we're back to the same place at the beginning. We're back to the beginning where God's saying, I want you to take care of the animals. I give you authority over them. I give you authority over what's getting ready to take place. I'm restoring back into you my reign, my kingdom. My kingdom's going to reign on this earth, and I'm going to give it back through you. And so what happens is you look at Noah's name, and Noah's name meant he will comfort us in the labor and painful toil of our hands caused by the ground the Lord has cursed. See, when Adam sinned, one of the curses was to work the ground by labor and the sweat of your brow. Now, did man fall even after Noah? Yes. But I believe God will use storms in our lives to wipe away everything not of Him in order to break the curse of the enemy over your life. So let the flood waters wash over you as well as anyone else in your circumstances, because He just may be trying to restore you. He may be trying to put His reign back into your life. See, you carry the reign of God's presence, that reign that floods and flows over, but you also carry the reign, the rule, and authority of Him in your life. And if there are things in your life that are going on that He knows needs to be wiped away, He will send a flood to wash it, to cleanse it, to empty it, to pour over, and let you know that He has everything in control. And when you do that, He will when you choose to do that, He will restore you. Don't look at every storm, don't look at every flood, and don't look at every circumstance as it's coming from the enemy. God uses storms just as well. And just like I said, if you carry the reign of God's presence, you can expect a storm someday or another. It's not just about carrying the reign, but it's also about establishing His reign on earth. It's about establishing His kingdom. See, it's His kingdom, not ours. It's making His presence known, not ours. You know, old song that says, let the rain of your presence fall on me. And it's just powerful because I think about how it says, let the rain of your presence fall on me. Every day that I live. And then it says, let the rain of your presence fall on me everywhere that I go. Lord, let your presence flow, rain on me. Love divine, joy unspeakable, an overflowing in my soul. This heart of mine is refreshed and at rest in your presence. That's it. In your presence. It's about just flowing in the ebbs and flows of His presence. And when that flood comes, what happens is you are girded up like a dam that can't break, that just holds that water until God says release. And so if you got some flood waters going on in your life, ask God, what needs to be restored? What are you doing in me, God? What are you releasing? What are you washing away? Because I'm just going to tell you, it doesn't matter where we are with our walks with God, there is always something that can be worked on. You have never and you will never arrive on this earth. Not ever. Number four, what's next, God? What's next? You know, you find yourself, you get in storms and you get things going, and then you're going, what's next, God? Really? What else are you going to throw at me? What's next? Get yourself all frustrated and what's next, God? I mean, He knows that you're frustrated already. You know, might as well just talk to Him and be real. It's okay. You ever get to that point? You just ask, what's next, God? We all say, God, won't you put, we all say God won't put on you more than he can handle, more than we can handle. God won't put on you more than we can handle. And I've been thinking about that and pondering it as I was thinking about this. And there's part of it that I don't agree with. And the reason I don't agree with it is because if we could handle it at all, then why would we need him? If you could handle it, then why would we need him? That's God. There are things in this life that come our way. Losing a baby, your first baby, and you lose a baby. No person really wants to handle that. If I was in my flesh, I cannot handle that. But with God, I can handle anything. And I think sometimes God puts things on us so that we can trust in him more, so that we can rely on him more. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may not rest on me. In reality, there are many things we cannot handle. More times than not, we fly off the handle. We do. But when we accept his grace is when we allow him to handle the storms for us. We don't handle anything. We don't handle a thing. We don't hold on to it. We are not in control of it. You cannot control what you do not own. So what happens is when we face storms, just look in reality. Sometimes I think we fake ourselves out. God won't put on us more than we can handle. And then you're trying to build yourself up yourself. No, God, I really can't handle this right now, but I know you can. Period. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I'm worn out. I don't understand. What's next, God? But you have got it. I don't have a thing. I can't handle it. I feel pretty terrible right now, and I'm at the brink of a breakdown. But you, God, can handle every single thing in this storm that's thrown at me. You can handle it. So I give you my storm. I give you what's going on. I put in place of your hands what I thought I had a handle on. And I let go. I let go. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses. Why are we so afraid to say that we don't got it? Why? Therefore, all the more gladly I will boast about my weaknesses so that Christ's power can rest on me. Take your hand off the captain's wheel. Take your hand off the captain's wheel. Quit trying to steer your own ship. And maybe, just maybe, in the middle of the storm, close the rudder. The rudder is your tongue. And the rudder helps steer the ship. And wherever your tongue leads you and the things that you say and how you respond and how you go and how you look at things makes a big difference. Sometimes just close the rudder. Slow down with it for a minute. Take your hands off the captain's wheel. Let God be in control and say, I don't got this, but you do. I don't have this, but you do. Because before you know it, after the storms and after the floods, the winds may blow. Genesis 7:17 says, God remembered Noah and sent a wind to blow across the earth. Something had to dry up the floodwaters. So after the rains and after the flood, you better steady yourself for the winds. Because God will use his winds after the storm to breathe fresh life into your situation. So don't be afraid when the winds start to blow. Just breathe in the fresh breath of God. After you've been through a storm, instead of saying, what's next, God? What are you going to do next? And you feel that wind that just starts blowing through and it starts hitting the sides of everything. And God's just going, look, I'm just trying to breathe fresh life into your situation. I'm trying to take out all the things that were death. Because think about this. In the midst of those floodwaters was a lot of death. In the midst of those things were a lot of things that had died off, a lot of things that have been broken. In the midst of your floodwaters in your life, there are a lot of things that God's trying to kill off and die off in you. And if you let those murky, muddy waters of death set inside of you, then what's going to happen is you're going to get a bacteria called sin. And then sin's going to manifest into a baby called death. And then death becomes an adult and is literally kills you into a grave that you walk around in every day. And so what happens is you're looking at God and saying, but God, you said you'd help me through that storm. And he said, but you didn't let my winds blow on you a fresh breath and fresh life so that I could bring them in and dry out your situation. Something has to dry up. The rain. Something has to dry up the waters. So put your spiritual shot back away and let God begin to blow on you. And you may think, I can't handle it. I don't even have the grace to stand. I don't have the strength to stand. I can't handle it. And he's saying, I'm trying to give you the strength by breathing my fresh life on you. Just let me do it. You don't need to stand. Why don't you lay down like Adam did and let me remodel and rebuild you? It's a fresh breath. It's that. We all think that God's just so gentle. Don't forget, he's the lion and he is the lamb. The lion and the lamb. He's both. So even though he's gently reconstructing you, he's got to breathe on you to get that stuff out of the way. You know, when you go after a storm, you don't bring in a stinking little S10 pickup to pull out all the debris. I've been in that. I've been in that when we went to Joplin and we were there when that F5 tornado hit and killed many, many people. After a while, you come in and you get the heavy duty stuff to come pull things out and get things cleared up. And then that freshness of that fresh, that first wind that just blows over and it begins to dry things out. Let God dry out some things in your life that you're holding on to. I hate the word moist. I'm just going to tell you. Because it always reminds me, it makes me think of a breeding ground of like yuck. Like, I just don't like it. It's gross. It's not a good word. And I get that people say, well, cakes are moist. That's hard for me. Think about just like, who likes soggy cereal? Right? I'm going to gag. Sorry. I can't handle it. I have bad gag reflex and I can't stand stuff like that. But who wants a soggy Christian? Because you're carrying all the other stuff with you that just kind of seeps out and it gets everything else soggy and yucky. See, what's so awesome about God is when we can carry the rain of his presence, is we can be that vessel that's got the fresh breath of life and that wind that's blowing through us, but yet we can carry that inside of us. And God gives us the ability to know when to rain and when to hold in and when to mist and when to, you do you see what I'm saying? We know, but we don't have to just walk around soggy, making a mess of things. So let God's wind blow in on you today. Let it be fresh on you today. Number 5, God's faithful to the end. You've got to hold on to your promise because every storm is a process. Hold on to your promise because every storm is a process. Let the process finish. Listen to me. Let the process finish. It took Noah. I don't think none of us have read this story to the full clarity to understand how many days, what was really going on. It took Noah 150 days for the boat to come to rest on top of the mountain. And then it took another 189 days till God told Noah and his family it was okay to come out of the boat. This does not include the 40 days of the rain. This is a total of 379 days, 1 year, and 14 days. That's just from rain to being in the boat to coming out. That has nothing to do about preparation. That had nothing to do about what happens in the aftermath of it. Nothing to do with any of it. 379 days, 1 year, 14 days in a boat with animals and manure and all the other stuff that comes with that. I know they smell nasty. You just know, because being closed up in a boat with a bunch of animals and trying to clean it the best you can and do what you can. But see, some storms last longer than others. So you got to let the process finish. Storms last longer than others, some do. But how you finish counts. When you don't finish the process, you miss the voice of God calling you out. When you don't finish the process, you miss the voice of God calling you out. See, Noah sent out the raven first, which in those times, that raven represented an unclean animal at that time. And then he sent out the dove. See, but to me, the raven, when you look at it, see, when we're not wanting to finish the process and we get in a hurry to do something real quick, see, you don't wait on the world's opinion on your storm to know where your feet are headed next. That's the raven. See, because the raven was a worldly animal at that time, in those days. So what happened is when Noah sent out the raven, it said it just flew around and around. It never came back. And when you wait on the world's opinion to finish your storm and let you know where you're headed, what happens is the truth will never come back to you. You'll continue waiting and miss your timing. But then Noah, he sent out the dove. See, we must wait on the Holy Spirit to help direct our steps, the dove. See, the dove, in biblical terms, it represents the Holy Spirit. And when you don't choose to get in a hurry and send down a raven that doesn't give a flip about you or where you're headed or where your feet are going, and it once it's out, it's going to leave you. And that's what happens is so many of us place our hope in this world and people that have left and have walked away. And instead of weathering your storm out with God, you've tried to weather it with people. But when you weather your storm with God and you become dependent on the Holy Spirit and you send it out ahead of you, it then in turn can direct your steps. It can direct your path. It can let you know time of what God is desiring in you. See, when you listen for the voice of God, He'll let you know when you're headed and where you're headed next. The voice of the Father is the only thing that can direct you to your promise. That's it. See, it says, after all those days, after the next, you know, they had 189 days in total that they were in there. And what happened is at the end of that time, then God comes up and He says, Noah, now you guys can come out. See, what happened is, if you don't remember that God is the one that shut the door to that ark and God is the one who opened it, no man did a thing. But when you try to do it in yourself, you're going to miss the voice of God calling you out from your storm. And you will continue to stay in. They could have continued to live in that boat and probably died there if they wouldn't have listened and waited for the Holy Spirit's guidance to come back to them and tell them where they were headed. And then Jesus Christ Himself, God the Father, spoke to him and said, Noah, you and your family, it's time for you to come out. Release the animals. Release what's happened. I'm getting ready to give you a fresh start. And at your fresh start, I'm going to give you a promise. The voice of the Father is the only one that can give you your promise. He's the only one that can direct you to where you need to go. And I don't know what that is. That doesn't mean that your whole dream was fulfilled. That doesn't mean everything was ready. Because I'm telling you what, after a storm, there's an aftermath. And next week, Pastor Brandon's going to get into weather alert, the aftermath. What happens after the storm? What happens when you have to rebuild? What happens? But all of a sudden, God puts this beautiful sign in the sky that says, this is a sign of my covenant with you. My life with you, my hope with you, saying that you and I are intertwined, we're connected, and that we're going to live out our lives and do what needs to be done. But so many times we've ended the storm too early, and we miss God's promise of covenant with us. So the cycle of storms keeps recurring and recurring and recurring and recurring because you miss God's voice. Because you're in a hurry to open the door. And what happens is if you get too fast, then the floodwaters will really literally overtake you. There's a restoration period. There's a time where God wants to build you. He wants to restore you. He wants to renew your mind. He wants to build covenant with you. And when you choose, only when you choose to make covenant with God is when God releases you from that storm. I know that's not easy, because sometimes we want to hear that we can do something to get out of the storm. Pastor Jen, can't you just tell me an easy way to get out of this? Yes, I can. It's called surrender to Jesus Christ. That's it. And what happens is some of you are so stuck in your storms that they become a lifestyle. And you wouldn't know what it was to have peace and a clear day if your life depended on it, because you have not yet surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. And so one thing after another, after another, after another. That doesn't mean that we as Christians don't have one thing after another happen in moments. But there are breaks of day. There's the dawn that comes in the morning that breaks the day, that begins to come in, and you begin to rise up within you and say, I know in whom I trust and in whom I am. I am God's and He is mine. I want you to stand with me today. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep His promise. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. The only thing that you should be holding on to dear life to is Jesus Christ. Holding on to that hope, the anchor for your soul. That's where you're going to get your peace. That's where you're going to get your hope. That's where you're going to get your release. Does that mean that everything's peachy keen after it? No, God comes in and He still breathes in. Because guess what? Things had to be regrown. Things had to be redone. Animals had to repopulize. You know what I'm saying? The human race had to regrow and repopulize the earth and multiply and fill things. But when you let go and you give God everything of you, what happens is He will give you the strength to repopulate, to multiply things in your life. You wonder why things aren't multiplying. You wonder why things are always decreasing. It's because you haven't given your hope and your faith to Jesus Christ. And what happens is when you don't trust in Him, everything begins to diminish away. But when you begin to place yourself into His hands, the Father who owns the cattle on a thousand hills, He begins to multiply what you have. We're going to sing this song, Faithful God. And I want you to know that these altars are open, but let me tell you what, we have been going through this for 4 weeks now about storm warnings. Can you not hear it? There's a weather alert. Can you not hear it? There's a weather alert. Quit trying to be the weatherman. Can you not hear it? There's a weather alert. There's a storm warning. Jesus needs to be the peace in your storm. Can you not hear it? There's a weather alert. You carry the rain. Something needs to happen. Something's trying to produce and birth in you. Can you not hear it? There's a weather alert. There's a flood warning that's getting ready to happen, that's getting ready to release. And either you will be the one that is outside the boat, or you will be the one that places yourself in the presence of the Ark of the Covenant of Jesus Christ. Can you not hear it? We interrupt for the emergency broadcast system. We interrupt it. Can you not hear it? I believe today, as we sing this song, it's going to be a declaration for you personally. There's something about when somebody else can pray for you and do what you needed. But let me tell you what, there was no one on earth to encourage Noah. Yeah, he had his wife and his kids, but I'm sure they probably thought he was a little crazy too. Because it was Noah who walked with God personally. See, Noah's wife didn't walk with God personally for him. His children didn't walk it for him. Noah walked his own walk for him. Only you have the ability to depend on God. Nobody else can do it for you. Nobody else is your salvation. Nobody else is your anchor in the midst of a storm. Only Jesus Christ. Only Him. And so today, as we start to sing this song, these altars are open. And let me tell you why. Because it's a moment where you can, let me tell you something. These aren't always to come and just lay everything down, but it's also to make a declaration that you know that your life is a personal sacrifice to Jesus Christ, to say, you will live in me, you will live through me, you will not only reign your presence in me, but you will reign in me to carry your rule and authority to the earth. You reign, God. So we're going to sing this. And if you know that you know that in you that it's time to take a stand, because sometimes you just got to take a stand in the middle of a storm. When you feel like your feet are knocked out from under you, you got to take a stand. You got to get up and say, I'm going to stand in the midst of this. I'm going to stand in the midst of this. I want to, just real quick before we go, I want every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to ask you, if you know that you've been going through this storm that you are in your life, and you do not have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that you have tried to handle it on your own, but you want to say, God, I give my life over you so that you can handle it, God. You be my Savior. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I want you to raise your hand. Jesus, I need you to be my Savior. I let go of the captain's wheel. Don't miss your moment. Don't miss your moment, because at any time a wave can come tip that boat. Can come tip that boat. Don't miss your moment. Everybody repeat after me. Jesus, I give you control of my heart and the storms of my life. And I lay them at your feet. And I, today, let the world know that you are the captain of my ship, and you lead me where you decide. I thank you, God, that you died for me, that you bled, and I ask that you would really, really come into my heart and be my Savior. I confess that today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We are excited with you if you just gave your heart to the Lord. We are excited with you. God is excited with you. We rejoice with you of the things that you have just decided to say. God, you are going to lead me.